Hey there, it's Big Jim O'Brien, the host of Big Jim's House at 94.7 WCSX in Detroit. Welcome to episode number 3, Bob Seger Boulevard. So much going on with Bob Seger. Of course, here in Detroit, we're all excited. We get our 3 concert dates that we know of as recording, playing at Pine Knob, DT Energy Music Theater. But again, Pine Knob, I think it's 26, 27 different shows at Pine Knob in Detroit. And as I look at BobSeger.com, those would be the last dates that we know of. Doesn't mean the end of the tour. Doesn't mean anything other than the fact that he's booked dates now into June. Okay. Coming up in this episode, Bob Seger Boulevard. You're going to hear from Mickey Thomas of Starship. We love to ask, anytime we get a musical celebrity on, we ask him, what Seger song would you cover? So we talked to him about it. Also, Michael Bolton has a connection to Bob Seger that we were not aware of until we spoke with him. Steve Winwood, another little connection between Steve and which Bob Seger song actually mentions Steve Winwood. And then we'll get into this conversation. Bob was here in studio at CSX in Detroit about a year and a half ago when the album I Knew You When came out, his tribute to Glenn Frey. Tells a great story about Glenn's mom, who was not too thrilled to meet Bob Seger. Now you're like, Bob Seger, but he's the nicest guy in the world. He is. But Glenn's mom had another little angle on that. We'll get to that, okay? But we want to start off. This interview, if you've never heard this, this is really interesting. So you go back to 1976. We're talking like what? Night Moves? Bob's in a TV station in Utica, New York. He really gets into his musical inspiration, the artist that fired him up, and a little more insight about all the albums. Because by that time in 76, he was on to his 10th album. So let's go back to 1976 as we start off this episode of Bob Seger Boulevard. Bob, sitting down for a couple minutes with a TV station in Utica, New York.
Bob, you've just released your 10th album. 10 albums. Now, I don't know how many rock people can boast that, but still, a lot of people say, who's Bob Seger? What about that?
Well, part of the reason we've been able to do 10 albums, you know, and not really be, you know, be superstars or anything like that is that we've never allowed ourselves to be subsidized by any major record company. We always, you know, paid our own bills and went our own way, and if, you know, instead of flying around and having big road crews, we drove and so on and so forth.
Why? When you could have an easy trip?
Well, because we enjoyed the music, we felt good about the music, but we didn't. I've seen a lot of bands go up fast and go down fast because they go in debt to people, and then people start calling the shots on them, and we always wanted to call our own shots. So, you know, I guess it took us a lot longer to do it that way, but things are starting to happen now.
Very definitely. What, besides Chuck Berry, who would you consider to be influencing factors in your music?
James Brown was really the first major influence on me. James Brown, used to see him in 1965, 64. He would bring his review into Cobo Hall in Detroit, and I'd be one of the few white people in the audience. And I'd go and see him play, and he just so much show, you know, and the band would do all these exotic stops and breaks and high volume and low volume things, and dynamics is the word I'm looking for. He was a big influence on me, probably the biggest, you know, hard singing and soulful. Of course, Motown, because since I'm from Detroit, you know. What I'm trying to say is black music, probably more than white music, really, for the most part. You know, Chuck Berry, Little Richard. Never was a big fan of Elvis, really, except for like his early records, like Hound Dog, the hard ones. You know,
a lot of your writing seems to be recounting of very personal experiences.
Lately, it is. Yeah.
Any special reason for that?
No, just searching for lyrics that you can sing with conviction, you know. I guess that's what I've been trying to do, you know, more than anything else. Just lately with Night Moves and with Beautiful Loser. Beautiful Loser was an album we did, you know, 3 albums ago. Really wasn't autobiographical, but a lot of people saw it that way, you know. And after all, people will take what they will, you know, from whatever you write.
So there you go. Going back to 1976, interview with Bob in Utica, New York. Now we move on. One of the things we love to do is talk to artists about what Bob Seger song they would like to cover. And it's always fun because you throw it at them, but they have an answer. Aaron V, my morning show co-host, was talking with Mickey Thomas from Starship, and we asked him.
Oh, wow, that's a good question. I wasn't ready for that one. gosh, let's see. There's so many great ones. And by the way, I agree with you wholeheartedly Bob Seger Boulevard now. You know, I mean, why wait? Let's see, what would I do? I would probably do Main Street.
And why? Why Main Street out of all of his gigantic catalog?
It's very whimsical to me, you know. It kind of makes me think about my childhood when I hear it, you know, the pool halls, the hustlers, the bars. You know, I mean, I kind of spent a lot of time in the pool hall when I was a kid and a teenager, and it just, I think it's something about that one. And it's true of so many of Seger's songs, you know, but that one in particular reminds me of my past. But that's the beauty of Seger. You know, he's kind of, his songs are so relatable to everyone's life experience, I think.
That's so true.
You know, he's mainstream America, but what a great artist.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
So we move on, Mickey Thomas here from Starship, and we were interviewing Michael Bolton. He had done a documentary about Detroit, and so we had him on, and in the course of that, he just threw out Bob Seger, the story. Well, here you go.
I was Bob Seger's opening act in 1983.
What?
What?
We didn't know that. Nope. That's awesome.
Nobody knew me. Nobody, when they announced my name, and I walked out in front of him, I know, you know, it could be tough opening, but fortunately, Bob was so generous and gracious with us, and it starts from the top down, his team, his crew, the band. They made us feel really comfortable, considering I'd walk out on stage and I'm pretty sure that people were saying, "Where's Bob?"
See, now you learn something new. Michael Bolton opened for Bob Seger. That, to me, is absolutely wild. All right, we next up, Steve Winwood. Steve Winwood was on. He was doing a best of, I believe it was a Traffic best of, and we were talking with him, and I'd heard this clip before, and it always jumped out of me. Steve wasn't aware of his connection to Bob Seger's music. So here you go, Steve Winwood. Are you aware that Bob Seger makes reference to you in one of his early songs?
No. Is that, did he write Stars on the Water?
No. I got the clip. This goes back to like 66, 67. I want you to, it's Heavy Music, the song Heavy Music by Bob Seger. Well, part two, let me play this down the line to you, Steve. So let me see if you can hear this. Hold on. He sang about you. He goes, Stevie Winwood got nothing on me. So Bob Seger knew who you were back in the 60s. Had you ever heard that?
Okay, well, great. I don't think I have. No, that's a new one on me.
Well, there we go. That was something. He's just a fan of yours like everybody else, too. But, yeah, I thought I would share that with you.
Fantastic. What year would that have been? 66,
67. Yeah, Heavy Music. That was when he was like still with Cameo and stuff. So, yeah, that was Heavy Music Part 2.
Yeah.
Unreal. Hey, thanks again for joining us. Episode 3 of Bob Seger Boulevard, our podcast, All Things Bob Seger. So far, Michael Bolton, Steve Winwood there before that, Mickey Thomas of Starship talking about it. And then and a really interesting interview from 1976, Utica, New York, television Bob, right when Night Moves came out. I want to wrap it up with some more of our conversation with Bob that we had in studio a little over a year ago when I Knew You When came out. I hope if you're a Seger fan, you understand Glenn was Bob's protege. Glenn talked about how Bob pulled him aside, took him to a club in Ann Arbor, told him, you got to be more than a cover band. He's the one that inspired him to write. I remember there's a great quote, I'll have to find it sometime for one of these episodes, where Glenn even, you know, he asked Bob, he goes, well, what if the songs suck? He's like, they're going to suck, but you got to keep writing. So when Glenn passed away, we all lost a musical icon and part of our life, but Bob lost one of his best friends. And it was so public. And the songs for I Knew You When, as you're listening to it, understand that Bob really wrestled with whether or not he was even going to release this. He seriously was thinking about it. He wasn't going to release this because it was just for Glenn's, for Cindy, his wife, and for the kids. But he felt a drive to release it to us. So as you listen to songs off I Knew You When, understand that this is a deeply, deeply personal album, and the songs all have meaning to them. And you know, it's even more powerful now when you go listen to the title track and all the stuff on there. him singing about Glenn and what Glenn Frey meant to him, and to see Glenn's career soar. But it's funny, a lot of people don't know that Glenn at one point was considering joining Bob's band, and he was going to go out with him on the road. Well, he was, until Glenn's mom in Royal Oak, Michigan, met Bob and wasn't down with his look.
Glenn's mom, when she met you, went, "Nope, you're not going out with that guy."
Oh, yeah.
You, Bob Seger, scared off Glenn Frey's mom.
Oh, yeah. I had really long hair. She probably immediately said, "Drug dealer." Of course, the picture on the album is me. That I didn't even have a beard or anything when I was 20 there. And that's when I met Glenn. That's the year I met Glenn.
We had a listener, actually, it sent us a video of Glenn. It was film. Mm-hmm. She was 16, and I think she lived in Birmingham, yeah. And they had booked Glenn Frey to play her garage.
Oh, wow.
So there's no sound, and I think he's doing Shout. You can tell by the machinations and stuff. And even then, he's just this rail of a kid, and he is owning this garage. There's maybe 20 people there, and Glenn is just all over the place.
He was such a joy to be with, too. He had a great sense of humor. And we hung out real, real close for about 2 years. And then Ramblin' Gamble Man hit on the charts. And I went away to do my long tour for that record.
Right.
And then Glenn moved to California. That was the next thing I knew.
Well, there you go. Our third episode of Bob Seger Boulevard. Thank you so much for all you guys for the support, the comments, and all the feedback that we get. So much more to come with Bob Seger Boulevard. So many more artists and stuff. Some interviews as well. We're going to talk about the tour as we get into it. The reviews keep getting better and better. And, you know, obviously here in the Motor City, waiting on the dates. Matt Yoakam was on from NASCAR on Fox. He's a huge Bob Seger fan. We'll share some of that with you as well. But if you have feedback, you can always email me, bigjim@wcsx.com. Twitter, WCSXJim. That is always an easy number to hit us up at as well. Make sure you subscribe. We'll be back with more Bob Seger Boulevard. All things Bob, man. God bless you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.